Transpositive will host this special on-air program. You can join us that night at the Queer Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 31st. More information about the Queer Community Open House and anniversary programming is available at kboo.fm.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life. Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rankin Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move ya.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are here in part two of Breaking the Ice. And we have a guest who we had on the other week talking about the encampment that was going on here in Portland, Oregon, and that person is Antonio Zamora, icebreaker, co-organizer of the Temporary Autonomous Zone, TAZ, calling for the abolition of ICE, which is U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Antonio, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Just got off the phone about a few hours ago. It's been a good day, warm. How's everyone else? Hope everyone's doing good.
Just peachy keen, other than we got, you know, a couple million people that are locked up for no good reason. But
oh yeah,
you know,
real.
And we got a whole, you know, prison and military and immigration industrial complex that we're trying to abolish here. So there's kind of a lot of work to be done. Do you want to talk about what's happened since the ICE occupation,
maybe
go backwards, you know, just for a moment, kind of mention that, and then kind of what's transpired in the last couple of weeks?
Well, we're commencing phase two right now to continue the movement in abolishing ICE. We have moved on from the camp. It was a difficult time for a lot of us to process that and see how we can move forward. And now a lot of us have been taking action at City Hall, taking action, organizing GAs at Grands Park once in a while with Abolish ICE PDX. There's just a lot of like forward thinking right now. Every other Saturday until further notice, we're having a social icebreaking gathering at Laura Hurst Park about 6 o'clock, and we welcome people who want to learn about abolishing ICE. And we have a pop-up library going on. Just a lot of unique things happening, just trying to keep people on the same page, really, and focusing how to move forward.
Right on. Can we talk about what was kind of the moment or moments, if you will, with the kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, I guess, dispersal from the ICE encampment? How did that go down? The city came, right, made an announcement, and then
brought in
the cops? And
it was on. I mean, like anything else, like Occupy Portland, you know, police will come in, make their presence, put sticks on the ground with, like, notification that you got to go. If you don't go, then you're going to face, like, police riot experiences on the wild, which is usual in this city. It's just like two Saturdays ago, unfortunately. So that night in the, you know, in the Abolish ICE camp, Occupy ICE camp, we had to pack up and like figure out, like, is it safe to be here? I asked personally, speaking from my lived experience about that night, I went to family camp. I went to engineers camp. I went to an engineer's tent. I went to various tents just to check on how people were feeling that night. Asked them if, hey, do you need assistance mobilizing your belongings out of here? Do you want to get the kids and family camp out of here? So that night was really difficult for a lot of people, as I said. And I helped organize like a caravan of trucks, and we did it together as icebreakers and got stuff out of the camp to protect the resources of the movement. And now we are using those resources in various ways to take action for abolishing ICE.
Do you want to say more about what that looked like? Because there is a lot of talk, as there always is, right, in any typical action, you know, especially more radical ones like this, where there's a lot of police brutality, there's a lot of misuse, there's always misuse of all kinds of different weapons and and tactics and all that. And I know you were talking also about kind of what was going on with some of the white supremacist rallies the other week. And that was also, obviously, those two are married in very many ways as far as the way that the state responds.
Just seeing it from a colonial perspective, what is going on in this country for since like 1492, going back before this country existed, police brutality, conquistadors taking power, and people just running crazy in the streets against the people who are just speaking up for what's right most of the time. I mean, we were there in at the ICE building, standing up for what's right, and we have these riot police shooting their guns at us practically at times. Even the last two Saturdays ago, we had riot police shoot at us over 20 times. It's just really raw violence from the police.
And how are people in the community responding to this state sanctioned violence?
Could you frame that question again?
I know I've been hearing in recently, you know, people are talking about kind of petitioning or what have you. You know, you mentioned going to City Hall and putting some pressure, in this case in the city of Portland, to talk about, you know, you got to stop using these rubber bullets. And you know, we're seeing the pictures in social media, people with amazing bruises, you know, all over their body from getting shot with these things, which they do a lot of damage, right? So
I mean, yeah, I saw one comrade down there, I forgot their name at this moment, but I saw their body on the side, I think it was like the left side of their rib cage, is just like shot really hard with like a rubber bullet or something. It was just like, they were like, oh, look at this, and I'm like, wow. And I have seen that all the time, like a lot of times since Occupy Portland 2011. Police will behave in this way. It's nothing new. It's been going on for a long time to control power against the people.
So what are next steps?
Well, next steps right now, if anyone's curious, or the audience curious, I really encourage everyone to come out for the vigils if you want to know what's going on and what's next in person and connect to the community of Abolishing ICE. We have vigils Fridays. 8:30 Fridays at the ICE building, 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue.
In Portland, Oregon.
In Portland, Oregon, exacto. And then on Tuesdays, we are at Tanner Square's Pearl District holding the vigil there at 6 o'clock. So it'd be great if people want to come out. Sundays, 6 o'clock at Grants Park, we hold a vigil there, and then maybe a march if people want to. This is all publicly on Facebook right now, and you can totally look it up. It's Vigils Melt ICE. It'd be really great to have people come out and just connect and talk about our next steps in person, too. There's a lot more than I can say here right now.
That's already a lot to mention. So there's three kind of polycentric sites, if you will, that are existing around just doing the vigil work. And so are we seeing more people kind of getting involved? Where's the analysis going and things of that nature?
Well, when you say the analysis going, what does that look like to
how
you?
Are people's minds changing about this issue and evolving with the consciousness that maybe they already had
right on
entering into the movement, such as yourself?
Well, right. I mean, holding vigils in various locations, like you said, polycentric kind of areas, you know, or I forgot the phrasing you used, but us being there gives people an opportunity to communicate in person. And a lot of times, like I say 8 times out of 10, which has been very constant since my experience June 17th, that people give a real positive input, be like, yes, we want this. Mm-hmm. We want ICE to be abolished. We want families to be back together. We want refugees and asylum seekers to be not treated as criminals. I mean, we get a lot of positive reactions just holding the vigil in various places.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we talk just a little bit about the composition? We know, of course, there's lots of grassroots activists or community organizers, whatever you want to call it, in town that are coming out for this. There are particular organizations that are taking the lead or stepping up or starting to maybe mm-hmm. even get more involved as they've maybe been inspired. You know, that all people have been doing this work? Or?
Well, yeah, I've been also reaching out to a lot of people. I mean, Pueblo or Unido is definitely in partnership with mm-hmm. what we're doing. They're a nonprofit, so we definitely are in coalition to mm-hmm. do this work. I would like to connect more with them in person. I've been trying to really connect more recently with the Native American communities more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely an ongoing process in my life, alongside mm-hmm. working a part-time job, being a farmer, and so. The specific organizations I have communicated with are like Direct Action Alliance right here in town, but also like I can't think of that one. I've been communicating with various communities, the various members of the pro-Palestine movement to bring in people to talk about immigration from various mm-hmm. various movements about abolishing ICE too, because ICE is affecting all people of color. Yeah.
Right. And one thing we mentioned in the last show was kind of how these things are funded, and a lot of it's private, you know, when it comes to mm-hmm. immigration. And we mentioned, you know, there's Corrections Corporation of America, there's GEO Group, and that there's been a lot of murmurs about GEO's presence here in Portland and whatnot. And I know you've been kind of looking into this. Are there updates or other findings, if you will?
Well, the community abolishing ICE here in Portland, the Icebreaker Movement here in Portland, are aware of the locations more of GEO Group, and we're looking to mm-hmm. Mobilize and bring positive change in the streets about bringing awareness of what GEO Group is about against sanctuary status in our city, our home city, Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I had some notes here, if I can.
And so, if people want to learn about what might be coming up around that, that's also going to be under some of the same mobilizations here with the vigils, or where do people look for that?
I mean, that's really the best way to connect with the movement is at the vigils and mm-hmm. get more information than I can just sit here and tell you. There's various individuals in the movement who are very focused on the specific knowledge to share. So mm-hmm. we're always trying to build a better spaces to people for coming out just to get communicated and more educated in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on social media, what's the name for some of the particular pages people should be looking at and looking for?
Yeah, real. I'm just trying to share some information. Abolish ICE PDX. You can find that online. It has its own website, and then also on Facebook. You can connect to also Occupy ICE PDX here in Portland. Mm-hmm. Both are here in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about on the national front? Because that was one thing we touched on last time too. Are there more national connections going on? Are there other updates with what's going on?
Yeah,
places?
Some juicy stuff coming from Philadelphia. I've learned the mayor of Philadelphia essentially said, if I had the power, I would abolish ICE myself. And
really?
Yeah, really. They're going to end the contract, supposedly, by what he has said.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of Philadelphia said they're going to end the contract sometime in fall, sometime maybe October.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to re-sign on with ICE tracking people in their city.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I would totally like get people plugged in there. I'm actually really curious if it's possible to go out there with other icebreakers, so connecting more on the national level in person. Yeah.
Well, we hope more people are going to keep getting involved, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the way how it's got to be done, connecting in person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So for any folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, Oregon. And we're here with Antonio Zamora's icebreaker and co-organizer of the Temporary Autonomous Zone, the TAZ, that was calling for the abolition of ICE and still is. However, the encampment now is over, and we're in the next phase. So,
commencing phase two.
Yeah, commence phase two. So let's talk about more about phase two. What are your ideas, and what are you seeing about all this work?
Well, I'm just speaking for me and my participation in the Icebreaker movement, calling for the abolition of ICE. I'm just going to focus on more like community building in positive ways, so people from all walks of life can enter and participate in the movement in ways that they can creatively and positively. Also, like connecting with First Nations tribal communities in the local area about their struggles and how I could support them, and talk about pro-immigration movements and just get educated in that way. And also just kind of just learn how to not burn out.
Yeah,
everyone who's listening, you got to like figure ways how not to burn out in this work. You know, you also got to learn how to like, when do I need to step back and when do I need to step up when people need me?
Right. Crucial anecdotes and staying involved and keeping people healthy, safe and happy, right?
Keeping them active, vibrant, and excited for abolishing ICE.
So how has the city of Portland, in this case, or the state of Oregon or whatever, have they responded to this in any shape or form, whether positive or negative?
I mean, it's really hard to tell what the Council of Portland is thinking all the time, because they're always wishy-washy on everything they do.
Right.
So, excuse me. I mean, Ted Wheeler, he has said he supports it, but has done nothing directly to support it in positive manifestations for the movement to move forward. Nothing at all, in my opinion. And other council members have been kind of just not really talking at all. So it's really hard to tell what they think of us. But I think over time, it's going to be a lot harder for them to ignore us.
Right. So you're saying that he's made some public comments kind of supporting it,
but not actually doing
much.
There's
not any substance, right? And he doesn't speak for everybody anyways.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody really speaks for the movement. I'm just speaking from my lived experiences right now as a participant, abolishing ICE.
Well, where is the work around City Hall going? Because you said there's kind of some ongoing work. What does that look like?
Well, I mean, there were some actions like since two Saturdays ago or so, and two Sundays ago, calling for people to come out and make some noise until the following day. But that has broken up, and the people are taking rest and focusing on other steps to work around that. So, I mean, really just keep your eyes and ears open. I mean, actions are everywhere, and actions can be anywhere in the city, because we're Portland, Oregon.
So in that case, people were gathered around City Hall to, kind of raise the clamor on the issue, essentially? Or?
Yeah, that was their focus. They had some signs and, like, pots and pans just banging out some noise in front of City Hall.
Is that what brought out Ted Wheeler, or was he responding to this even before? Or?
No, he came out the next day, but I actually wasn't there that time. I had to go to work, and I had to, like, step aside, so... So they did make contact with them that day.
What have arrests looked like since the closing of the encampment? And then I don't know if these City Hall actions have generated any arrests or anything like that. Are there people in need of jail support or what have you? Or
also just nationally, we've had over hundreds of people arrested already for the participating in the movement to abolish ICE. Just nationally itself. Locally right now, most of our comrades are not in jail right now. I can't speak to the ones who I don't know about. Most of the ones I know are out. Most of my closest people, my friends, and my community are safe right now. But But there are ways. Like, it's just better to come in person at a vigil where it's safe to communicate and just ask how you can get plugged in to the movement abolishing ICE in Portland, Oregon.
Right. And you've also been. You said you're going to be doing some traveling. You've already, I think, done some traveling. Tell us about what you've been doing and who you've been, you know, talking to and all that.
Yeah, I went to New York City to participate on a social ecology municipal panel with other participants from the Northwest and I think Tucson, Arizona. We're all Northwest organizers in our time. And I went out there and I said what has happened since June 17th about abolishing ICE here in Portland, Oregon. Yeah, and there were people at least 50 countries, different places, just, you know, hearing the message and like really getting some connection, being in person and talking about it. And that's why I'm like, if anybody wants to get really connected, come to a vigil and get really connected and become part of the movement.
Right. Yeah. What were some of the other experiences like? Because it sounds like, you know, you spoke and other people were, you know, so what can you tell us more about kind of things that you kind of either connected with what you're doing or maybe what was different in another particular city?
I wouldn't go back to New York City personally, but I did meet we were at the ICE building in New York City. We did a live stream out there. We hosted a vigil in front of the ICE building, trying to get people to stay focused on the message and what we're trying to do out here. Yeah. And it was a good opportunity to connect with New York City Icebreakers too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you said Tucson. You mentioned there were people from Tucson as well.
Yeah, they were part of the contingency going out there to speak on the panel.
Mm-hmm. So are these people that you met there, or I mean, were these movements already sort of kind of connecting before this gathering?
Well, some of these individuals are right here in the Northwest, participating in their own way with Abolishing ICE. Mm-hmm. Demand Utopia is a really great organization I look up to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, which also talks a lot about municipalism.
Municipalism,
right?
Yeah.
Can you say more about what that means? I mean, what is it, and how does it kind of relate to this issue for people that might not be familiar with it?
We're really just trying to outgrow the system, and that's what municipalism is about, outgrowing the system, not trying to overthrow it necessarily. It's about outgrowing the system and making sure that if we're going to elect any politicians, they're trying to abolish their positions and their mm-hmm. work. So just a couple of pointers mm-hmm. that I've learned about recently.
Right, so kind of part of this idea of having more local organizers involved in what mm-hmm. city halls and...
Yeah, that's the whole thing about abolishing anything. We have to think in a municipal way in a certain context, because we have to like contact local council to endorse certain things about abolishing, you know, a prison or a local mm-hmm. detention center. You know, like what's happening in Seattle, They're protesting one of the largest youth detention centers, and mm-hmm. they're gaining some ground, and some politicians are on their side. So, but I personally don't have faith in politicians. It's a good way to move around and make sure things keep moving for any movement mm-hmm. to abolish anything.
So I hear you saying it's really in the more of the role of community organizers,
yeah,
to be getting involved and maybe providing a minimal amount of leadership.
Yeah, exactly. We need to change. If we're living in a municipal area and we're trying to tactically organize for something to be changed, we need to think on a local level.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else above and beyond the vigils? Because you said there's a lot of stuff going on. So.
Like every other Saturday, not this Saturday coming, but we have a social icebreaking gathering just mm-hmm. to create a positive space for people to connect. We have an abolitionist library, a makeshift abolitionist library with books and spaces that people can offer workshops and connect more to the community, space to even just rest and read a book and learn how to, you know, be more knowledgeable about the information at hand would need to do. So that's my other, that's my other part in this commencing phase two personally, is to take time to educate myself more, create space for people to join that, and organize around creating more spaces like mobile abolitionist libraries around the city.
So that's Saturday, August 25th?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, at 6 o'clock.
Okay, and where is that again?
6 o'clock, Lowerhurst Park, two Saturdays from now.
Okay, and that's the Icebreaker Gathering.
Icebreaker Social Gathering, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for people who might not be sure of what this means, you know, people heard the term Occupy thrown around so much in the last few years, and then it came up again around Occupy ICE, which really the platform itself is talking about, you know, not having an ICE. And so then the word abolition or abolish ICE comes up as a slogan. And, you know, whether it's what you talk to people about and what you're hearing or your personal opinion, I mean, what does it mean at the end of the day? I mean, we know it means, you know, abolish is no ICE. What's the larger kind of picture there? Where are people trying to go with this? What does it
mean?
Well,
yeah, I mean, if we're going to call it the abolition of ICE, we want to make sure that ICE never returns. And to do so, we also want to focus on, like, you know, encouraging people of my communities, Latino communities, to get involved, and also like how to like really organize in a way that opens the borders for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We want no borders. So on the path of abolishing ICE, we will work toward conversing about abolishing the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really about these arbitrary boundaries that we have between places.
Oh yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's going back for a long time, over 526 years mm-hmm. of resistance.
Right, it's kind of interesting because there's so much, you know, slander on people from other places now when it comes to the discussion of immigration. But right, within the first, you know, quote unquote immigrants, you know, to the Americas, right, were you know, yeah. of like European descent. So it's almost like this kind of, you know, opposite,
yeah,
dialogue about what that means and who's supposed to be here, you know, and well, who's from here.
Decolonize, abolish the colonizers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you think about the system itself, how it's created by the very people who are trying to enact it for over hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. So who is it really benefiting if you look at it? Is it white people or brown people?
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is ICE is really this extension of colonialism in itself.
Yeah, really. That's how I feel about it. Totally just trying to figure out how to get that out as a message itself. And organize around people just to open up a little bit and think about it. Mm-hmm. Because this is all leading to abuse of families and children in ICE right now.
Right. Can you talk about what that looks like, you know, as y'all are organizing this and being on the, if I can use the term, like, you know, kind of front lines of that work or have been anyways with the recent encampment or whatnot. Mm-hmm. What is that looking like, you know, for the, you know, families, you know, that are actually going through this stuff? And because I mean, obviously a lot of people, they yeah. well, some people anyways, right? But if, you know, if they're documented, they, you know, you might be able to go visit somebody and all, I mean, that how is that dialogue going, and what kind of feedback are you getting from those folks?
Well, just witnessing things I have read myself, and I can't really speak who I talk to directly in community like that. But
you don't need to name names, but well, just, I mean, what kind of things are you seeing or hearing?
Well, the things I have read are like children being sexually abused by ICE agents inside detention centers, women and children being separated automatically as soon as they like come in contact with ICE agents. Mm-hmm. Women and families in general, like I read recently that a woman and her child were shipped back to the same country she was trying to get asylum away from, mm-hmm. to come into this country, and they just basically sent her off to her, well, to a difficult mm-hmm. life thing mm-hmm. here in the United States.
Right.
For this country to say like, oh, liberty for all, that doesn't sound like liberty at all to me, mm-hmm. you know. So,
can you say anything about our Northwest Detention Center out here is in Tacoma, Washington?
Yeah, Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah, how does that relate to the all this? Because we're kind of in the local, you know, Portland context, but of course Tacoma's only really, you know, about 2 hours drive up north.
Well, you know, when you talk about geogroup and prisons mm-hmm. and stuff like that, yeah. I mean, Geo Group actually operates and transports the migrant people, trying to like they're shipped to Tacoma mm-hmm. by Geo Group buses.
Okay.
Geo Group is in collusion with this organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, is it, so when I think of that, when you think of that, we also have to think, oh, you know, where is Geo Group and how we can get involved to make positive change in the streets and get people on board to mm-hmm. talk mm-hmm. about this more.
Abolish Geo.
Well, one can hope, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. right, exactly.
Yeah, I think really thinking about this in a municipal context, how to like organize, you know, call for your city, call for your neighborhood association to endorse the abolition of ICE. Call for your neighborhood city council to call to endorse the movement abolishing ICE. Just really put pressure on your local community organizations. That's how we're going to make a step forward to abolish ICE.
Great.
And alongside that, I mean, connecting with Native communities too, because we, or Native communities specifically in the northern United States with this country, have been experiencing a lot of turmoil from the very system that is affecting my communities mm-hmm. as well.
Right, the First Nations people who greeted these immigrants, you know, 500 years ago, and now we're mm-hmm. you know, it's
yeah, exactly
butting heads. I mean, is an understatement, I guess, to say butting heads, but you know, as far as, you know, colonization of land and territory, right?
Yeah, First Nations people, you know, when I think about Chicano, when I think about Chicano resistance, I think we fall alongside that, and all Latinos of the Americas with the First Nations people, because we are experiencing the same systemic oppression of prisons and being murdered and captured from the very system that created it since 1492.
Colonization. So just to wrap up, just maybe say the vigils again, and then what are the links that people are looking at, or looking for, rather?
Yeah, well, here the vigils are Sundays, 6 o'clock, Grants Park, in the Hollywood neighborhood, mm-hmm. Portland, Oregon, everyone.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah, Tanner Square, 6 o'clock, Tuesdays, Tanner Square, Pearl District, Portland, Oregon, and then Fridays at the ICE building, 4310 Southwest Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. There's a vigil there at 8:30.
Okay, so there's multiple things going on. There's no excuse people can't make at least one of those or something, right?
Oh yeah, we'll have plenty of literature out there for people to read and connect more and talk to each other and get to know each other.
Great.
So yeah, come out and make prayers and let's take action.
Beautiful. All right, you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, coming from the studios of KBOO, and we're here with Antonio Zamora, Icebreaker. Abolish ICE, occupy ICE, get rid of it, occupy or abolish GEO, right? Yeah. All that good stuff. So,
hasta la vista, migra.
All right, claro. Listen to this and previous Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Want to thank our amazing engineer, Michael Flectalis. Thank you for tuning in. Free them all.
Join me every first and third Friday from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and